Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today, my guest is Stephanie McMahon, chief brand officer for WWE. Stephanie was destined to work in the family business. She began her professional career at the age of 8 as a catalog model for WWE merchandise. The daughter of WWE Chairman Vince McMahon and former WWE CEO Linda McMahon has done just about every job at the company, from answering phones to steering the writer's room. All of that experience is put to good use in her current role as steward of the most well-known brand in pro wrestling. In our conversation, McMahon discusses how she's worked to make the company more visible with blue-chip corporate partners, and she also makes no apologies for the company's forays into markets like Saudi Arabia and Abu Dhabi, as she explains that WWE helped expand the boundaries of what women can do publicly in entertainment and sports settings in those countries. It's all coming up today on Strictly Business.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Strictly Business. Stephanie McMahon, Chief Brand Officer for WWE. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me, Cynthia. It's really a pleasure to be here.
WWE has definitely done a great job of keeping itself in the headlines and keeping itself going during the height of lockdown conditions. You just last month completed a very successful WrestleMania 37. Tell me about how pulling off this signature, the Super Bowl event of the WWE world, how was it different this year, given that this was your second WrestleMania in COVID times? How was it different this time around?
We actually got to have people this time around. Last year, it was, for the first time, and I've been at every single WrestleMania except for last year, my entire life. And last year, to not have any fans was such a unique experience. WrestleMania was supposed to take place at Raymond James Stadium, and instead we had to relocate to our performance center, which is essentially a warehouse with no fans. And at the same point in time, it was right in the beginning of the pandemic when there was so much fear and so much uncertainty. And for WWE, it wasn't a question of if, but how we were going to continue to produce our programming every week, which is live, but especially how we were going to put on WrestleMania. And I had the privilege of doing the cold open of giving the, you know, sort of the welcome. Mm-hmm. And it was such an honor, because one of the reasons why we continued and why it was how, not if, is because we feel the responsibility not only to our partners, but to our fans, to provide that levity, you know, to maybe provide some sense of hope that things are continuing, you know, that they're not gone or lost forever, and that we are here for you and we are all here together, even though we couldn't be in person. So to go from having WrestleMania, which last year was the first time we did two nights, to really, you know, expand the value for our fans and partners, to then go to WrestleMania 37 this past year just took place. It did take place in Raymond James Stadium, April 10th and 11th. We had a limited capacity, but it was a capacity crowd for the limited capacity for the number of tickets that we were, you know, able to sell working with our partners there. And of course, on the heels of the Super Bowl being very successful at Raymond James Stadium, which was very helpful to us.
Right.
But to be able, we all, just to set the stage, literally, we were all of the superstars that were competing came out on stage in the beginning of the show. And Vince McMahon, who is our chairman and CEO, and of course, my father, was standing next to me. And he welcomed our fans back home. He welcomed them back to WrestleMania. And we introduced our new signature, which used to be then, now, forever, and is now, then, now, forever, together. Because that's, I think, one of the things this time has really reinforced to all of us is the importance of being together, of being that community, and to look out and to see tears in the eyes of our fans' faces, because we all knew we were a part of this moment. I mean, you felt it, you get goosebumps, you know, the energy, and our superstars who have been dying for our fans to be there live in attendance. It was just such a special evening for us. We broke records from a viewership standpoint. It was also the first time that WrestleMania took place on our new partner service, Peacock, in partnership with NBCU. So there was a lot going on, needless to say, around the launch of WrestleMania this year, April 10th and 11th.
Was it, in terms of producing it, given the COVID restrictions, I would imagine that, did you have restrictions in terms of what you could do in the ring or even around the stadium?
So we've continued to perform in the ring all throughout the pandemic. We have produced our live weekly programming. So our performers in the ring are unmasked. They are tested. We have all kinds of protocols, not only for our performers, but employees, anyone working in the buildings, you know, et cetera. And because these protocols we've been running now for over a year, we actually have less than 1% positive rate for COVID, which is pretty remarkable. So no, there weren't limited restrictions in the ring, but certainly there were, you know, there were things that we couldn't do in and around the building. We couldn't do our access event, our big fan events. We couldn't do, you know, any number of different activations. There was no tailgating, you know, none of the typical things that we do, you know, to attract fans.
And the things around the event that enhance it and make it bigger.
Exactly. And our fans, of course, had to be masked. Everyone working except for our performers had to be masked and social distancing and, you know, all of that good stuff. So all of the protocols were still in place, which is certainly different than how it normally is.
How was it in being back in the stadium with somewhat limited capacity? How did that affect it as a business proposition for WWE? Is that a hit to you if you can't sell as many tickets as you can, as demand would ask for?
For sure, we make less money, less revenue if we don't have all the tickets sold. Absolutely. We definitely would like to have our fans back for many reasons, and that being one of them. So absolutely. But from a sponsorship perspective, we actually had record-breaking number of sponsors for WrestleMania this year. We had 14. And it was, you know, other than really the live event ticket gate, everything else really outperformed for us. It was a huge success for WWE all the way around.
Did you get a sense that marketers were like dying to have a live buzzy event that they could reach people with?
Absolutely. And our partners, It's funny, Snickers has been back now. This was our sixth consecutive year of Snickers being the presenting sponsor for WrestleMania. And they actually upped their game and added the presenting sponsorship of the main event match. We had our first time, you know, partnership with DraftKings at WrestleMania. Old Spice, we did this really fun, clever integration where we actually created a WWE superstar called the Night Panther, which is named after the scent that they were promoting. So, and that aired across all of our different platforms, you know, so it was, it's really fun. The thing that WWE offers that nobody else does is this opportunity to really get in deep with our content. You know, we can customize content creation. We can really, we're only limited by our own imagination in terms of what we can do for our brands and our partners. And some brands and partners really latch onto that and want to make a significant impact, and others, you know, like the logo placement, and we're happy to work with all of them.
With SmackDown, one of your biggest TV franchises, moving to Fox almost 2 years ago, what did that do for you? Did that open up? Did it bring new viewers, new attendees into the fold?
Absolutely. All of our data demonstrates that it was a success reaching new audiences and bringing in more viewers, for sure. Fox is an incredible partner, as is NBCU, of course. And I think Fox's ability to promote across platforms is, you know, pretty much right there at the very top of the game. They have been a remarkable partner for us across the board, and we're incredibly proud of our partnership.
During the period when it was, you could not have fans in the stadium, how did that sort of step up efforts to still speak to fans? Did you take efforts to try to, you know, keep consistent messages to them, or did you come up with like additional content that might sort of tide them over?
Absolutely. So we increased our content production. We actually produced 2,300 hours of content last year alone across all platforms. And we have a three-tiered model to how we produce our content. So there is, of course, the linear model or pay TV model, however people best understand that. And that is with our flagship partners, USA, and of course, Fox, as we were just discussing. But then we also have our AVOD strategy, which is across all of digital and social media. We launched our partnership with TikTok. We increased our content production across the board, and we've actually seen, you know, significant growth. We launched over 2,000 new products, CPG products. And actually during the pandemic, during 2020, our e-commerce business offset the loss of live event ticket revenue and live event merch. So that was
really
pretty remarkable. So we saw an increase in engagement. We absolutely produced more content, more product, you know, tried to engage our fans in multiple different ways. And then we did see the growth. Absolutely.
I'm curious, when in the worst of the lockdown period, did your kind of reference, as you mentioned, you have adjusted the tagline to, you know, for the post-COVID world about being together. I'm curious how people communicated with their consumers during the worst of it. Did you specifically address that, wow, we're all home, we're all stuck at home, or did you try to take, you know, be like the escapist option for WWE fans?
So we tried to be the latter. We tried to be the escapist option, but while still engaging our fans. One of the things I think WWE, I think we're the original interactive brand. When you think all the way back to the days of the Roman Colosseum, when the emperor would decide the gladiator's fate and the audience was a huge part of that, I mean, that's where it comes from, right? It's that audience interaction. And one of the reasons I think we have such a significant digital and social footprint, we have, you know, over a billion social followers across platform. We're the fourth most viewed YouTube channel in the world. Number one sports YouTube channel, but the fourth most viewed overall YouTube channel. And that's something that we're also incredibly proud of. And one of the original content producers when YouTube first launched.
Right.
So we've really been a part of that since our inception. And I think why digital and social works so well with our audience is, of course, that's where the audience is, but because our audience has always been a part of our show, and digital and social allows them to be a part of it, even if they're not there live. So it would make sense that those numbers would amplify. And WWE has a history of really interacting with our fans. It's not just pushing marketing messaging. It's listening to what they're saying and responding with action, which is actually something that we did for the whole women's evolution that happened in our business. There was a hashtag in 2015 called Give Divas a Chance, which was how we then branded our women's division, specifically calling for more athleticism, better character development, better storylines for our female talent. And we responded at the highest level strategically.
So that came from fans. That was
that came from fans
saying that was that communicating with you part that you were referencing.
Yep, exactly. But so here's how we responded. Then at the biggest possible level, the highest level, we had Vince himself respond and say, we hear you, keep watching, give hashtag give divas a chance. That hashtag trended. I mean, I think I said this, but it trended worldwide for 3 days. It was loud. And so we responded in kind. And at WrestleMania 32 at AT&T Stadium in front of over 101,000 people, our biggest live event attendance ever, we announced the rebranding of the women of the Divas division to the women's division. We unveiled a new championship belt that was more akin to the men's, but still very feminine, and announced that our women would now be called superstars, same as the men. Since that time, our women have gone on to regularly headline and main event all of our programming, including WrestleMania. And not only that, but I think the biggest impact that we had in Abu Dhabi, it took us about 6 years to be able to have our female superstars perform. And during their match, you know, and their only their heads and their hands could be exposed. Their gear had to change. But during their match, a chant broke out of both men and women chanting, "This is hope," which is not a typical WWE chant, you know, and there were tears in the eyes of little girls in the front row. And take that experience and then know that we did not one, but two women's matches in Saudi Arabia where the chant simply became, "This is awesome," which is exactly how it should be.
We'll take a short break here and be back with more from WWE's Stephanie McMahon.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back with more from Stephanie McMahon, Chief Brand Officer of WWE. You've obviously made, you know, WWE has obviously made an investment in taking the brand to, you know, many overseas locations. Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia have been areas of real controversy. Certainly in the U.S., there's been a lot of backlash to various, you know, what you were just describing. These are restrictive societies. Why is it important for you to be there?
So WWE takes the approach that we want to be a part of the change and not judging any brands or any other decisions that other companies make. Everyone has to do what's right for them. But for us, it's about being, you know, you have to be there to be able to be a part of the change. For example, in Abu Dhabi, different scenario, but it took us 6 years to be able to have our women perform. But we went. And if we would have pulled out, we would have never had that opportunity. Sometimes it takes persistence. Sometimes it takes, you know, tough decisions. And of course, that was a very tough decision, you know, and we decided ultimately we wanted to be there to help affect change. And we were able to do that. I mean, that's a remarkable part. You know, I mean, it's amazing what you can do when people really come together for the right reasons.
Are you, were you surprised? I know that WWE was very kind of quickly embraced by audiences in those regions. Did that surprise you? Did it surprise you that the brand would resonate that strongly in places that are very different from the West?
I'll tell you what surprised me was just how many families were in the stadium in Saudi. I don't know why. My perspective was that it would be a predominantly male, you know, audience. I mean, I guess I do know why I would have thought that, but the surprise is that it was families and it was kids in WWE merch and running around. And it's exactly what WWE is all over the world. We are a family friendly brand. We bring people and communities together. WrestleMania itself, we typically have fans from over 60 countries, all 50 states, all different socioeconomic situations, all different religious beliefs, political beliefs, all coming together to enjoy this one thing that we all love. It's like this huge family reunion. So it shouldn't surprise me that our audience, even though skin tone might be different, even though people look different all over the world, it's all the same. It's the same people. It's families coming to enjoy this product.
A question I had for you about the women and showcasing more female wrestlers. Have you seen a corresponding growth in female WWE fans in general?
We're nearly 40% female from a viewership standpoint. And I think it's really because of the family aspect. And we have absolutely seen more engagement, more young girls, you know, really watching WWE and being fans. We've also seen young boys who are now fans of the women, you know, because our female superstars, when they have the opportunity to showcase who they are and their athleticism. I mean, we had the first ever two African-American women to compete at WrestleMania as the main event of WrestleMania night one, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. And Bianca Belair gave this really beautiful interview afterwards. And she said how proud she was to know that little girls who look like her could look up to her in this moment and what that meant, you know. And I just think, you know, I'm very privileged to be a part of a brand that is driving this kind of impact and change.
Women that pack a wallop.
Amen.
That is awesome. What would you say as you look out? There's a lot of people are talking about, you know, that 2021 is going to have a big second half. I would ask you, what is the prospect for you getting back in a touring footing? And just in general, how are you feeling about consumer demand and, you know, sponsorship opportunities? How are you feeling about the second half of 2021?
So sponsorship has been going strong because, again, we continue to produce our programming. So we've never lost our sponsors because they've always had a place to be. But from a live event standpoint, we're absolutely planning on being a part of that big return to live events and sporting events. We certainly hope that that does happen. We have no official announcement yet, but we've been public that we are building plans and moving forward for the second half of the year. Get back to touring.
It's clear that you were born into the wrestling world as the daughter of WWE chairman and CEO Vince McMahon. I know that your grandfather was even into the wrestling business. So grappling is definitely in your blood. How did it happen, though, of the many avenues that you could have taken even within WWE? What was it about marketing that spoke to you? How did you become chief brand officer?
A very circuitous route. But, you know, WWE has been obviously a part of my entire life. And there's lots of fun stories about various superstars joining us for family dinners, including Mr. T and Hulk Hogan, who headlined, you know, the first WrestleMania. And my mom had to make Mr. T liver, which she absolutely hated. So that was a really fun moment. But my life is filled with stories like that. I've not led a boring life. From a business perspective, I started, you know, when I was about 8, as a model for our merchandise. I don't think I ever really got a paycheck on that, but I would model merchandise for our catalog. Let's see, I worked reception starting when I was about 14 or 15. I would work the switchboard. Back then, there was no automated switchboard. Everything was, you know, by hand. And then, you know, I really interned just in any department that I possibly could, including human resources, live event marketing, television production, our whole AMG, our advanced media group, when it was right in the beginning, and our website looked more like Donkey Kong than anything else. I remember all of that. I remember when we solicited and contracted our very first web designer. And I remember, you know, going to the different designers and hearing their pitches. I mean, I've had this incredible life to be a part of this product and this company. I then, just higher level positions, I was in charge of creative writing probably the longest, you know, and I was the first woman to do so many things in our business. And then I ran our live events division, our talent relations division, our whole digital division, which was where I really tried to combine digital and creative writing to ensure the consistency and the flow of our storylines through all of our different platforms and channels. And then that ultimately led to my role of becoming the company's first ever chief brand officer. We were actually in the market, you know, about 10 years ago or so with our core programming rights, Raw and SmackDown. And we were just not getting the level of response that we wanted and that our numbers really warranted. And we realized that we had, you know, a perception problem. So we created this role to really, you know, amplify our brand presence, to really reach out also on a B2B level. We had gotten so good at marketing ourselves directly to our consumers, but we hadn't taken that more broadly. And we hadn't taken it really into the business community. So that was really the impetus, you know, for the whole chief brand officer role and ultimately now marketing rolls up into brand. And I'm also responsible for GSP for all of our partners and sponsors, as well as entertainment relations and community relations, which is at my core and at my heart and at a part of WWE's DNA. I grew up with that too.
Definitely. Well, I can absolutely sense your passion for the business.
It's hard to hide. I have to say, I can't help it.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. We love to hear from listeners. And be sure to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.